It's time for the truth. We join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Great to have you with us today. I hope that you're prepared and ready to study the Word of God and enjoy His power and His presence today. It's a wonderful time to study His Word, and I just hope that you enjoy it. We're going to be reading today, again, from Philippians. And I hope that you're not getting tired of these verses. Each time we pick up a new section in the next verse, or maybe a section of that verse. And so it takes us a while to go through, but we are going to read once again from the 12th through the 16th verse. So I ask that you would please open your Bibles and find that scripture text that you may follow along with me as I read so that you can see those precious, sweet words. We have so many things there that we have enjoyed. And while you're looking that up, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, and while you're looking for that, I would, and grabbing your Bible and opening it up, I would love for you to know and understand that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. It's at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I love studying the Word of God. I love proclaiming it, and I love to watch folks come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Now, if you're ready to read this precious, sweet word, why, please follow along. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye are always have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I ask you that you would just guide and lead us. We love studying your word. And Father, I know that you want us to stay upon the word, the truth. You do not want us to veer from that. You do not want us to be philosophers of your word and change it wherever it makes us more comfortable. Please, Lord, help us to understand the only way that this word has its power and its strength is if we leave it the way you have it. Your word, not mine, not anybody else's word. Your word, Lord, and I ask that we stay so close to that. And please guide and lead us now as we study this precious word. Touch the hearts of everyone that's listening today. Just change your life. Bring them to you, Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We can look very quickly, just in review. I would like to just remind you, I guess, all the things that we have learned in this small section from verse 12 to verse 16. We have learned the importance of always obeying, whether it be in the presence or in the absence of someone. You know, sometimes we kind of put on a pretty good act for somebody, and that doesn't work when it comes to the presence and the power of God. You must serve Him because you love Him, and you love Him because He first loved you and died on the cross for you. Always obeyed. Obey, and whether it's my presence or my absence. We found the next week later, we talked about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we talked about how that there are steps of salvation. And please, again, don't misunderstand me. And I took a lot of time during the section that we studied this. That it is not a matter that you are partially saved or that you turn yourself to the Lord Jesus and then you work the rest of your life to keep your salvation. Jesus bought and paid for you with His precious blood, and all you need to do is come by faith to Him, and you are and will be saved eternally. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. But there's a work that needs to be done then in your life, because you see, you have a new heart, you're born again, but there's a cleansing act that needs to take place in your life, and that is the working out your salvation. What Jesus has given you as a free gift from the love that we should have back towards the Lord Jesus and towards our Heavenly Father for what He has done for us, Our work should never end until we take the last breath and die. We should always be serving Him and always be walking after Him. And we should understand the need and the necessity to do that. Then we talked about another week concerning murmuring and disputing. We talked about how that's such a problem, and it has been from the beginning of time and always will be, that murmuring and disputing. That's one of the tricks that Satan uses and is so very good. It just get a little murmuring going on, just a little backbiting between two different people. And all you have to do is find one person to say something against another, and then one person to listen to what that person is saying, and you have started that murmur, and it'll just go like wildfire out through the church. We talked about how to take care of that, and that's get on your knees and ask Jesus to forgive you, and then get your heart right. And if you've hurt a brother or sister, you need to go to that brother or sister and apologize. If it was just something that you started and didn't get too far, you just need to go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and get it straightened up before it gets out of hand. Then we found in the next verse, blameless and harmless, all the power that we have if you walk a pure life. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself upon and in the Word of God, that you may be blameless and harmless. That you have produced a work. You are a vessel that's usable for the Lord Jesus, and it's important that you have that and walk after that. And we found out what kind of a world it's. A crooked and perverse nation or perverse world that we live in, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that's what we talked about last week. Now, I didn't take too long, and I didn't want to, but it's important that we kind of remember all the things that we have learned. And we spent almost a week with each one of those items as we come down through these few small, short verses. But here, ye shine as lights in the world. It's so important, my friend, that our light will shine. Now, I need to explain that just a little bit, and we spent most of last week concerning this, and I want to begin here so that we don't miss anything. We have a man in 3 John, chapter 1. There's only one chapter, 3 John, the 12th verse, and it says, Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I believe that I have read that 3 weeks in a row now, counting this week. That verse of Scripture excites me. I get excited when I find that not only did this man have a good report with men, and we need to have more concern about having a good report with God than we do a good report with man. But this man had both, and he had both because he followed the truth. It says, and of the truth itself. It's so sad today. People are so easily compromised, and they turn from their what they have been taught by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. They have been taught. People are taught today. It's sad to say, not enough, but they are. And all of a sudden, we're willing to rid ourselves of all these things we've learned so that we can so-called come together as one. We come together as one only, and I mean only, when it's over the Word of God, the truth. And when you begin to compromise, and you begin to set aside beliefs of the Word of God, and you have to set those aside or don't talk about them because you have someone over here that has a different belief, and if you say something to them, you'll offend them, then there's a problem, and one that's very important to all of us, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ and through Jesus alone. And you are saved by the precious blood of Jesus. You are saved because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. He died for your sins. There is no other man. There is no other God with a little g. There is no other person in the world ever has or ever will live that can save you. It must be through Jesus Christ. It must come through the Lord Jesus. Now, if we're learning from the Word of God that the only way to be saved is by Jesus, and if you have accepted that, and I sure hope that you have, I hope you have accepted the fact that Jesus died for you and that you need. And this is getting back to this verse of Scripture here, that ye shine as lights in the world. As we look at that verse of Scripture, as we think of this man, Demetrius, as we look at his testimony and at our testimony. Now let's get back to what I was just saying. You look at the fact that you have trusted, and I hope you have. If not, right now, ask Jesus into your heart. He died on the cross of Calvary to save you from your sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please that you trust in the Lord Jesus. You walk after the Lord Jesus. And the Scripture says this in Romans chapter 10. It says, whosoever, that's anyone that will turn unto the Lord Jesus. You can't turn on your own. You take the Word of God. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you grab a hold of a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you let me know and I'll get you a Bible. We love giving people Bibles. That you have a Bible and you can go through there and read that precious Word. And I guarantee that if you'll read that precious Word and you'll read it to know for certain that Jesus is the Savior of the world, you will find it to be true because the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will show you that the Savior is Jesus and you must come by faith to Him and trust Him and ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. Now I ask that you do that you be immediate, now, right now, today is the day of salvation, that you trust in Jesus and be saved. Now if you've taken care of that, you've trusted the Lord Jesus, now why, if you've come by faith to Jesus and you've been saved, why do you begin to pick apart the Word of God? Why do you begin to take parts of it? And you begin not to believe some of it or think it's not important. And you start to build whatever religion that you want to fit yourself. That's dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And that kind of philosophy and that kind of doctrine, when you start taking parts of the Word of God and start believing parts of it and parts of it you don't, is sending your children and their children and their children to hell. Because you see, they're never going to hear the truth because you've left it. And I ask you, please, that we be strong, that we bright, that ye shine as lights in the world. Well, there's only one way to shine, and that is verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Now, if you'll remember, and that's one reason I kind of wanted to review since we finally got to verse 16, I wanted you to remember because when we read verse 12, I started out with that verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Is this word worth fighting for? Are you willing to stand for the Lord Jesus? Are you willing to stand and come to a Bible preaching, soul winning church, one that preaches the gospel, stands on the Word of God, the truth? And if they don't believe the Word of God the way the Holy Spirit's taught you the Word of God, then get out and get yourself a church that does. We got people that every time a little fuss comes along, they take off. They'll come for a little bit, and what it is, the Holy Spirit starts convicting their heart, and they're not willing to surrender. Oh, they act godly. They act religious. But God's getting a hold of their heart, and they don't like it. And so they're beginning to be a little fidgety a little bit, you know. That's just the conviction. That's the Holy Spirit working on that person's heart and life to straighten them up. That's this part up here in the last part of verse 12, to work out your own salvation. Again, not to be saved, because we are saved the instant that we turn our heart to Jesus. The instant that we turn around and say, God, I'm a wretched sinner and I need to be saved. That's the second that you're saved. Oh, that's a glorious, glorious time. It's a wonderful time of the day you meet Jesus. But I'm telling you that as we walk, we need to be so very careful that we walk in the truth. And you need to understand, my friend, and I want to say this with as much love as I can tell you. And that is, if you compromise a little over something that you know to be right, and you raise your children up compromising, or you win somebody to the Lord Jesus and you bring them into that church that is compromising, they have changed the Word of God. Maybe they believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. That's not scriptural. Maybe they believe that you have to work out your salvation. In other words, yes, you come to Jesus by faith, but you have to keep working to keep your salvation. That's not taught in the Word of God. Maybe you're someplace where they deny the blood of the Lord Jesus. They don't feel that the blood of Jesus is important. If there had not been for the blood of Jesus, there'd be no redemption. That's taught by the Word of God. Now, my friend, we need to separate ourselves, not come together with folks of all these different beliefs and forget what God has taught us in His precious Word. We need to take His precious Word, search that Word, find other brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus that study that Word like we do, and fellowship with them, and grow together as the Holy Spirit will continue to grow us in the Word of God. And that's what you need to do. It says here, holding forth the Word of life. That means a couple things to me. That means that we should be taking the Word of God out to others, telling them that Jesus lives, Jesus is alive, and will you please come by faith to Jesus and be saved. But it also tells me that I need to hold the Word of life in front of me. And I must continually enjoy and fellowship and study and search and let this precious Word touch my heart. It must continue to grow me, to change my life, to make me as Jesus to be pleased with me. A lot of you folks don't want to change. You like the gods that you serve. If you'd been here this past Wednesday night, we have Bible study and we study the book of Deuteronomy. Now, people don't want to know the Word of God. People don't want to be blessed by the power and the presence of God because people don't come to Bible study. That's the only way you're going to get blessed, holding forth the Word of life. Holding up the Word of God and studying the Word of God and searching the Word of God, and let it convict your heart and follow the will of God. Now, we got sweet, sweet folks here at church that love to study the Word of God. They love to open the Word of God up. But we found last Wednesday night that as Israel, Moses told them before they ever went into the Promised Land, you'll find this in the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy if you'd like to dig it up and look at it. I'd love for you to read it because it's important that you know the Word of God. Because it'll tell you there that you're not supposed to have any graven images. You're not supposed to make any. You're not supposed to have any in your presence. Now, there are a lot of churches worldwide that have many statues, many carved images. The Word of God says no, but you have them. Many of you even have a picture of what they think the Lord Jesus looks like. You have it in your church. You've got it in your home. God says no. Number one, we don't have any idea what Jesus looks like. And God meant it to be that way. Because otherwise we'd be bowing down to some picture. Bowing down to some statue. God said no. But you see, we've compromised, haven't we? We kind of like to look at something. We need to see something. Well, if you're in a church that has that, or you got something in your house, I ask you, do you have a house cleaning? God said no. So let's take care of it. And there's many, many things that we need to take care of. But there's only one way that you'll be convicted about that and take care of that. There's only one way that your life is going to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. And that is if you'll hold forth the word of life. Hold forth the word of God. Oh, it's so glorious to be busy in the work of God. You know, many times as we proclaim the word of God, people reject it. We don't like to be rejected. And so next time we're a little more quiet. Or maybe that's the reason you don't like to come on Sunday night and on Wednesday night if your church has services on those nights. Because you're just, people kid you a little bit. Said, no, Larry, that's not the reason I don't go. I just don't have time to go. You don't have time not to go. Time is so short. You got children, they need to be in the house of God studying the Word of God. And one time a week isn't enough. I plead with you, parents. I beg you that you understand the Word of God. Do you think you know better than the Word of God? Say, Larry, that's just your opinion. No, it's not. It's the Word of God. You need to be in the house of God. You need to study the Word of God. The early church, they met daily. That's how much they needed to sit in fellowship over the Word of God, share what God's done in their life that day. There's no sharing going on today. There can't be. Come together for an hour or 2 hours on Sunday morning and don't see them the rest of the week. How are you supposed to share with them? How are you supposed to share? You know, you find out very quickly. And I've learned years ago, one of the best and the sweetest fellowships that you can have, and that's when you're working together. And we've had, Sarah, we've had some work nights here at the church to get things finished up and kind of worked over. And you know, I have had some very sweet visits with the folks that are here. It's been a great time. The things you understand about what's happening in this person's life or that person's life. Well, the same thing's accomplished, my friend, when you come under the Word of God, whenever the doors are open. And so I ask you, please, that you hold forth the Word of life. You hold it before yourself, that it be your guide, it be your rule book, it be the very... It just leads you, teaches you, and leads you. A lot of people think that's just writing on those pages. No, that's God's precious Word. I love God's precious Word. I love following after His will and doing His will. I love knowing His will. I love Him teaching me His precious Word. And I know this is His Word from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. I'm not picking it apart. You'll notice we go slow. We go very slow when we study through this precious Word because I want it to penetrate your heart. And I want it to be so clear that the Holy Spirit can touch your heart, can move in your heart. I love watching this Word move young people's lives. I'm talking 4 and 5 years old or younger. I love to watch this move people's hearts. We have Bible study in La Harpe at the nursing home there. And I love studying the Word of God with those folks. I love sharing over the Word of God and watching them grow and learn the Word of God. And we have several folks that are in their 90s. And they love the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what age. It doesn't matter what place. God allowed me to do a funeral this past week. And at that funeral, I preached the gospel. I told folks how to be saved. And you know, as you come to a funeral, you have all kinds of folks, you know, all good folks, but many times a lot of lost folks. They need Jesus. You need Jesus. The light needs to shine. As Moses was threatening, warning the people, and he was warning them with a threat, And the way he did that was, he said, God will bring you peace in the land that he has given you. He will go before you and fight for you, and he will win the land for you, and you can possess the land. But if you begin to serve other gods, you will anger the Lord, and he will run you out of that land, and he will scatter you across all the world. And he did. Israel scattered around the world. And they're scattered around the world for one reason. It's because of disobedience. Now, we've never been promised a piece of property, a land. But we have been promised blessings. The blessings that will come from us, the flowing of the power and the will of God through us will be evident by the fruit of the Spirit. In love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And I don't care whether we're talking on the radio, if I'm standing behind a pulpit in this church, if I'm in La Harpe at the nursing home, if I'm in some of the homes we meet at the Roger Johnson's once a month in La Harpe, and we have Bible study. We're in the book of Colossians there, had a great time a week ago. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's a ladies' Bible study that meets on Tuesday afternoon here, or Wednesday night Bible study here, or Sunday night Bible study here, or the Sunday school classes. It doesn't matter when I have a chance. Whenever that comes, I tell people how to be saved. I love to watch people grow, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in that in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I don't question. I have to kind of remind people every once in a while, because they kind of get caught up in what they're doing and kind of get run down. You know, a lot of times people will teach a Sunday school class for a year or so and then think it's time for retirement. I've been teaching Sunday school for 20 years and I'm never going to stop teaching. I love to teach. I have some trouble with my voice, with my throat. I love to teach. I probably got a throat equal to a 100-year-old compared with the amount of times that I teach in a week's time. I love the Word of God. I love holding forth the Word of life. Because you see, it's a difference of heaven or hell. And if you don't recognize that, you need to come to Jesus. You need to trust in Him by faith and be saved today. Now, if you've done that right now, and if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, you've turned to Him and says, God, yes, I'm finally listening. God, please come into my heart and save me. Then you need to confess to someone. I ask you, please, I beg you, for your own sake, that you testify of Jesus. You tell somebody that, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. Please. Then get yourself in a church that preaches the Word of God. You may have to hunt a while. Find one that preaches the Word of God and stands upon the truth. You begin to study the Word of God and you will be holding forth the Word of life. And I have never once questioned that I'm laboring in vain. It's been a constant run. It's been an effort. We need to put forth an effort to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to put forth an effort, as the Scripture tells us here, holding forth the Word of life, telling people about Jesus, yes, but lifting that up yourself and studying that precious Word, never leaving the truth. I beg you to stay in the truth. Don't leave it. Don't compromise. And there's going to be a great day of rejoicing. There's going to be a great day of rejoicing. And my friend, I'm not running in vain. I'm not laboring in vain. I want to preach the gospel. I want you to be saved. I want you to have the blessings of God. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?